Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this time as we come to worship you. And Lord, as we continue to worship you, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds. God, that out of that quiet place in our lives, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us, that we might be your sheep, but even more so than your sheep, Lord, that we might become shepherds too. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So my question at the very beginning of the service was, who had the most influence on you to become a Christian? Now I want to change that question up and I want to ask you, who had the most influence on you growing as a Christian? On you growing as a Christian. Who was it in your life that helped you to grow into a deeper relationship with God? So I'm asking you, who in your life helped you to grow into a deeper relationship with God? For me, it was a lady named Penny and a pastor named Larry. They came alongside of me in different ways and helped me to grow more deeply in my relationship with God in different ways. How about for you? Who was that person? Pat?
There were several pastors who helped me and also several co-workers. So, a list, but each one of them was the right person that got put in my path at that time that I needed to grow in my faith.
So pastors and other co-workers. I saw a hand up over here, Ron.
My wife.
Your wife. Okay. Very good. Okay, wife.
Florence E. Scott, the superintendent of the Sunday school that I went to when I was a little girl.
Thank you, Fran.
She loved without judgment.
Okay. How about over here? Scott.
My sister Stephanie.
Your sister Stephanie. Great. Okay. She came to youth group and let you tag along. Mark Spaugh. I'm sure Mark had a lot of influence on a lot of people here. Anyone else? Gina.
My husband, Bill.
Your husband, Bill, who is no longer with us. Oh, there he is. Colleen? Your mom, Michelle.
Growing up in the Fent Church, my senior high leader was, his name was Brian Holmes, the same name as Brian Holmes here. But he knew the Bible, and to do Bible study with him as a senior in high school was just enlightening.
So a youth group leader. Youth group leader. One of the stories that are related to us in the book Soul Shift, a Measure of a Life Transformed. I read that and I was like, wow, this is such a great story. And it goes like this. You're the oldest, Freddie, so you have to be an example, his mom had always told him. Now he was 17 years old and his three younger sisters were 15, 14, and 10. And then Sam was the baby of the family, just 4 years old. Freddie had started to see how much his sisters looked up to him now that the two of them were teenagers. They used to fight like cats and dogs when they were younger, and they still do sometimes. One night, Freddie's mom and dad were out for a dinner function. The teens put Sam to bed, and then Freddie watched a movie with his sisters on cable. It wasn't the kind of movie they would have watched if mom and dad were home. At first, Freddie felt a bit guilty, but it was really a good movie, and they were getting into it. About 45 minutes into the movie, it started to get violent. Freddie told Jennifer, the 10-year-old, that she had to leave. He figured at least it was something. But it was still awkward in the room as the scene started to get bloodier and bloodier. And he wondered, how much is in this movie? How far is this going to go? So he got up, grabbed the remote, and turned the TV off. He didn't have to say anything to his other sisters who were there. She knew, the older one. So he sat down and they just stared at the walls for a few minutes. That's when Becca, who is 15, broke the silence by saying, "Freddie, why are we different than everyone else?" And the question irritated Freddie, and so he said, "Because we're Christians, silly." She kept looking at the wall, thinking, and said, "Well, how do you know that?" "Because we go to church and we're into Jesus and we read the Bible and all of that stuff." "I don't know, Freddie. I'm not sure if I am one." He was blown away. What was Becca saying? She did all the same stuff he did. Freddie said, "Do you mean you're doubting or something?" "Well, how do you know where you're at for sure? How can you know that I'm okay with God? I'm worried that I'm not," Becca said. "Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I know that I prayed to receive Christ at a youth rally three Christmases ago. Ever since then, when I wonder about that, I just remember that day. I wrote the date in the front of my Bible." Becca looked down. "That's what I mean, Freddie. I don't have a date like that." This was definitely the strangest conversation Freddie had ever had with his sister. He couldn't believe that she was talking to him this way. "I wonder," Becca continued, "maybe I should do something and have a date that could help me to doubt things less. Maybe that would help me like it helps you." "Sure," Freddie said. "That sounds like a good idea. So what did you do, you know, to make it happen at that rally a few years ago?" "Well, I just prayed a prayer the guy told us to pray and made a commitment." "What did you say?" So that's when he told her what he had prayed, and Freddie led Becca to Christ that night. That's when Freddie started to realize that he needed to be a shepherd even to his own sister. A whole new world had opened up for Freddie. And the next world had opened up for Becca. Shepherd. I like this story because it relates the simplicity of helping others in their relating and relationship to God. It also reminded me that many who call themselves Christians, who go about the Christian life in outward ways, have some real spiritual doubts. They're in need of someone to help them. You know, I was thinking we spend the first 18 to 22 years of our life in a posture of learning. It's simple at first, you know, walking, talking, eating, even learning to go potty. Then some real tests begin. Tying shoes, riding a bike, beginning to read. School begins and it switches over to facts and figures, advanced reading and writing, and how to manage your life in the midst of all these other people. Our learning takes us to a place where we can provide for ourselves. Some learn enough for a job that they work at, and then they're content to plug along until they retire. Others will continue to learn more so that they can grow their business or work their way up the ladder. I wonder, should learning ever stop? Yet inside, you know, the spiritual life, my fear is that Christians are educated in knowing what they need to do to believe in Jesus and be saved. But there it ends. It's simply enough to believe. Peter, who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, also believed in Jesus. And during those 3 years, Peter would see Jesus perform many miracles, healing the diseased, creating food out of nothing. During those 3 years, Peter would see Jesus speak with power, casting out demons, and speaking with authority the word of God. During those 3 years, Peter would see Jesus. He would see Jesus as the good shepherd and the disciples as the sheep. And as I read about Peter's faith journey, it doesn't seem so very different from our own. You see, Peter recognized Jesus was God in the flesh. He places his hope in Jesus for his eternity. He begins to walk with Jesus. And then when opposition is at its highest point with Jesus, and Peter is asked if he is one of Jesus' disciples, he says, no. Not just once. Not twice. But three times said no. Much like us, and maybe not in quite the same way, don't we too deny that we know Jesus as our Savior from time to time? It's not always the direct question, do you know Jesus, that we say no to. But it's more when we're asked why we're patient or kind, or why we have joy in our lives, that, and then we turn and we give almost any other reason. Instead of saying, because we know Jesus, or that Jesus gives me peace, or Jesus will see me through this time, God will provide. As we come into this morning's scripture, John shared how Jesus had met with his disciples several times after his death and resurrection. And then we come to the scene. Now, Peter was out fishing, what he had done for a living prior to walking with Jesus. But he was fishing, not doing what Jesus had intended him to do. He wasn't fishing for people. He was fishing for fish, almost as if he'd become satisfied as a believer, as a sheep, one who was not going to go any further in his spiritual walk with God. When Peter recognizes Jesus, he goes out to meet him. And Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? 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 Jesus asks that question of each of us. Do you love me? And hopefully, like Peter, you can say this. Say it with me. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, we recognize that Jesus is specifically talking to Peter here because of Peter's denial, to let Peter know that he is forgiven. But there's so much more. Jesus is giving Peter his marching orders. Don't go back to living the life that you lived prior to me. Don't go back living life simply knowing me. Stop being a sheep. Become a shepherd. Feed my sheep. Not just clothe the naked, feed the hungry, or shelter the homeless. Feed my sheep. Don't just drop my name sometimes. Don't just say a prayer occasionally. And don't just come and worship me on Sundays. Feed my sheep. Draw others to me. Teach others about me. Help others become my disciples too. Feed my sheep. Feeding sheep is a shift in our lives when we move from simply being a follower to help others to know, to grow, and to follow God, with the goal that one day they will begin to invest their lives in helping other people to know, grow, and follow God. I look back on my life at those who nurtured me in my walk with God. They spent time with me. They encouraged me. They memorized the scripture with me. They prayed for me, and they just walked with me. And we had conversations about God, about the spiritual life. Then as I grew in my walk with God, I was challenged to begin doing the same for others, to teach them, to nurture them, to pray with them, to memorize scripture with them so that they would grow deeper in their relationship with God. You know, the real joy in life comes when you live your life along someone else, a new believer, and you help them to grow in their understanding of God. Friends, there are so many things, so many ideas out there that are contrary to what God says about Himself. And people are freely teaching them all the time. And yet we as Christians don't say, well, that doesn't sound right. We don't say to others, if they've been told about another way to God that is contrary to what the Bible says, we don't challenge people on that. But the real joy is when you live your life alongside of somebody and really begin to help them to see who the one true God is. To answer the questions, to talk about God, to challenge them, to pray with them, to be with them. And I'm not just talking about new believers, but anyone who wants to grow in their relationship with Christ. Now, there are many natural relationships, much like Freddie and his sister Becca, where we take on the shepherding role. Probably the most natural one comes between a parent and a child. Parents' natural role is to help guide and steer their children toward what? Independence and adulthood, so that they can make it on their own. But most importantly, to shepherd them toward Christ. Now, the church comes alongside to supplement what is taught in the home through services and Sunday school. And I think our teachers do a great job. But the church cannot take place of mom and dad and what they should be doing at home. There are simple things, everyday things, that parents can do with their children to help them to grow in their relationship with God. Prayers before meal, reading the Bible with your kids before bedtime and talking about what you read. Praying with them before they go to bed about their day, for their friends, for their church, definitely for me. And one of the things I love to do with my kids after I bandaged a skinned knee or an elbow or other boo-boo is just say, let's just ask God to heal you and put my hand on that bandaged knee. And occasionally pointing out something that God created and saying, wow, didn't God create that cool thing? Or when we looked at the stars at night, saying, look what God created us for us to see. Always pointing back to God. And you know what? I still pray with them over the phone. Especially if they say to me, Dad, can you pray for me for this? Right now, a lot of it's exams. And I'll pray with them about it. Or they'll text me about something to pray for, and I'll text them back a prayer. But it doesn't end with parents. Certainly grandparents, aunts and uncles, godparents, neighbors, workers, work associates. We can have an impact on so many lives if we would move from being a sheep to becoming a shepherd. This is so true about anyone in your sphere of influence. Now, Jesus will always be the good shepherd, and we will always be his sheep, but we must make the shift from being just a sheep to becoming shepherds. One who helps guide others toward God and helps them to develop a deeper relationship with God. As Billy Graham's ministry took off in the 50s, he was helping upwards of 6,000 people a month to find Jesus as their Savior. But he was concerned because there was no follow-up with these people. People may accept Jesus, but there was a great possibility that they would either fall away from God or that they would become stagnant in their relationship with God. So Billy approached a man named Dawson Trotman about helping him. Dawson, some 17 years earlier, had developed a process to help Christians grow in their faith, to shepherd other Christians, so that then these sheep would become shepherds themselves and begin to shepherd other people to grow in their faith. He was helping sheep not just to remain sheep, but to become shepherds. And Dawson's process became the basics for the Navigators ministry, a process that was modified for Billy Graham to help these new converts from his evangelistic ministry. Imagine yourself shepherding another individual in their relationship with God, such that they would begin to eventually shepherd other people. Let me ask you, do you feel like you live your life more as a sheep or more as a shepherd? We need to remember that our spiritual life does not reach the end upon receiving Jesus as our Savior. It's only just the beginning. Jesus said to Peter and says to all of us, "Feed my sheep," which is what Peter did until he was hung upside down on a cross some 33 years later. For some of us, we need to ask God now to change our hearts from living lives that only allow God to be a part of it on Sunday mornings to an everyday relationship with God. For some, we need to ask God to change our hearts from simply living with our hands out, always asking God for something to feed me, to begin to do ministry for other people. For some, we need to ask God to change our hearts so that we begin to take seriously God's call to make disciples of all people, using us to help others to grow in their faith. You know, I've been through Dawson Trotman's spiritual boot camp, and it made a huge difference in my walk with God. And I've taken others through this spiritual boot camp, and it has made significant changes in help in their life, in their walk with God. And I'm willing at any time to take anybody through this spiritual boot camp so that they can become more equipped, so that they can live a life more pleasing to God, but more importantly, so that they can become shepherds for God. Talk to me. Ask me. Allow God to change you, to mold you, and to make you into what God wants you to become, to make you shepherds in a world that desperately needs shepherds. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. for how you gently nudge us at times with your staff, and sometimes how you really give us a whack because we need to make changes in our lives. I know some of us are experiencing that nudge this morning. And God, I pray that you would give them the power, the willingness, maybe the gumption to follow through and become the shepherd you have designed them to become. Lord, change our hearts. Mold us and make us to become what you want us to become. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,